ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ, ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ.
ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 63 ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 7 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಟೈಟಲ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಫೈಟ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಬಾಣಾಸುರ.
ಆಸಿತ್ ಸೂತುಮುಲಂ ಯುದ್ಧಂ ಅದ್ಭುತಂ ರೋಮಹರ್ಷಣಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸಂಕರಯೋ ರಾಜನ್ ಪ್ರದ್ಯುಮ್ನ ಗುಹ್ಯಯೋರಪಿ. ಆಸಿತ್ ಸೂತುಮುಲಂ ಯುದ್ಧಂ ಅದ್ಭುತಂ ರೋಮಹರ್ಷಣಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸಂಕರಯೋ ರಾಜನ್ ಪ್ರದ್ಯುಮ್ನ ಗುಹ್ಯಯೋರಪಿ. ಆಸಿತ್ ಸೂತುಮುಲಂ ಯುದ್ಧಂ ಅದ್ಭುತಂ ರೋಮಹರ್ಷಣಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸಂಕರಯೋ ರಾಜನ್ ಪ್ರದ್ಯುಮ್ನ ಗುಹ್ಯಯೋರಪಿ.
ಮತಜೀಸ್ ಆಸಿತ್ ದೇರ್ ಅಕರ್ಡ್ ಸುತುಮುಲಂ ವೆರಿ ಟ್ಯುಮಲ್ಟ್ಯೂಸ್ ಯುದ್ಧಂ ಯ ಫೈಟ್ ಅದ್ಭುತಂ ಆಸ್ಟೋನಿಷಿಂಗ್ ರೋಮಹರ್ಷಣಂ ಕಜಿಂಗ್ ಬಾಡಿಲಿ ಹೇರ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಅನ್ ಎಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಶಂಕರ ಯೋ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಂಡ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಶಿವ ರಾಜನ್ ಓ ಕಿಂಗ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷಿತ್ ಪ್ರದ್ಯುಮ್ನ ಗುಹ್ಯಯೋ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಪ್ರದ್ಯುಮ್ನ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಾರ್ತಿಕೇಯ ಅಪಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಡಿಸೈಪಲ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ. ಎ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ಟನಿಸಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ಯುಮಲ್ಟಿಯಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೇರ್ ರೇಜಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ಯಾಟಲ್ ದೆನ್ ಕಮೆನ್ಸ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಅಗೇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಶಂಕರ and Pradyumna against Kartikeya. So we'll continue to read till we reach the purport. I'll read the translation, text number 8. Lord Balaram fought with Kumbhanda and Kuparkarna, Samba with Bana's son, and Satyaki with Bana. Text 10 and 11. With sharp-pointed arrows discharged from his vow, Saranga, Lord Krishna drove away the various followers of Lord Shiva, Bhutas, Pramathas, Guhyakas, Dakinis, Yatudhanas, Betalas, Vinayakas, Pretas, Matas, Pisachas, Kushmandas and Brahma Rakshasas. Text number 12. Lord Shiva wielder of the trident, shot various weapons at Lord Krishna, wielder of Saranga. But Lord Krishna was not in the least perplexed. He neutralized all these weapons with appropriate counter weapons. Text number 13.
Lord Krishna counteracted a Brahmastra with another Brahmastra, a wind weapon with a mountain weapon, a fire weapon with a rain weapon, and Lord Shiva's personal Pasupastra weapon with his own personal weapon, the Narayanastra. Text 14. After bewildering Lord Shiva by making him yawn with a yawning weapon, Lord Krishna proceeded to strike down Banasura's army with his sword, club and arrows. Text number 15. Lord Kartikeya was distressed by the flood of Pradyumna's arrows raining down from all sides, and thus he fled the battlefield on his peacock as blood poured from his limbs. Text number 16. Kumbhanda and Kuparkarna, tormented by Lord Balaram's club, fell down dead. When the soldiers of these two demons saw that their leaders had been killed, they scattered in all directions. Text number 17. Banasura was furious to see his entire military force being torn apart. Leaving his fight with Satyaki, he charged across the battlefield on his chariot and attacked Lord Krishna. Text 18. Excited to a frenzy by the fighting, Bana simultaneously pulled out all the strings of his 500 bows and fixed two arrows on each string. Text number 19. Lord Sri Hari split every one of Banasura's bows simultaneously, and also struck down his chariot driver, chariot and horses. The Lord then sounded his conch shell. Text 20. Just then Banasura's mother, Kotara, desiring to save her son's life, appeared before Lord Krishna naked and with her hair undone. Lord Gadagraja turned his face away to avoid seeing a naked woman. And Banasura, deprived of his chariot, his vow shattered, took the opportunity to flee into his city. Text number 22. After Lord Shiva's followers had been driven away, the Sivajwara, who had three heads and three feet, pressed forward to attack Lord Krishna. As the Sivajwara approached, he seemed to burn everything in the ten direction. Purport. Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following description of the Sivajwara. The terrible Sivajwara had three legs, three heads, six arms and nine eyes. Souring ashes, he resembled Yamaraj at the time of universal annihilation. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Sabadhutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvise Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Krupa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevhyo Vaishnavevhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So with the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas, I'd like to speak something as a service. This is a section where we see how there is a huge battle between Krishna and Lord Shiva. So the acharyas explain that Lord Shiva fought to establish supremacy of Lord Sri Krishna. In the incarnation of Lord Ram had to take permission of Lord Shiva, blessings, to defeat Ravana. In this incarnation, he is not taking any blessings, he is directly fighting and defeating. So in that sense, as the He's really establishing his supremacy as the Supreme Lord. And in one or two verses, you'll find that how Sivajwara, which is now fiercely, you know, explained how fierce, three eyes, so many arms, so many legs, burning all the directions, ashes coming out. The same weapon will be so much shivering that will go on to take shelter of Krishna. And normally, if we are serving a master, I mean, there is a danger from the enemy or something, then we should run back to our master for shelter. Right? Then that's what we should do. But here, the Sivajwara is forfeiting his master. He is just leaving aside Lord Shiva and taking shelter of Lord Krishna directly. So, it is explained in the Shastra that Krishna's lotus feet are the ultimate shelter for everyone. And we are sure because Lord Shiva, who is fighting just to establish Krishna's supremacy, like how Bhishma fought with Pandavas. It is very strange, somebody who loves so much the Pandavas, how can he stand in an opposite and fight also fiercely? Not just fighting for a, you know, casual commitment is there to, you know, Hastinapur said, therefore I have to fight, so let me just go and do something there, half-hearted. He actually fought very fiercely, so it is very bewildering for a common man. But then it is explained that whole fight was to bring pleasure in Krishna and establish Krishna's supremacy also. Prabhupada explains that how even if Bhishma and Drona are on the side of the Adharma, because Krishna is on the other side, therefore there is no chance for them to win. Although they had all possibilities to win. Excuse me. But they had to leave. So that similar kind of pastime is happening here, but it's like Romans, love and, you know, war. Very exciting story. But because it is centered around Krishna, it is purifying. So the whole the people go through various experiences and there is different situations, but then ultimately one has to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That's the whole even Vanasura also kind of surrenders. Lord Ram also says that even Ravana comes and takes my shelter, I will give him abhay, fearlessness, abhay pradhan. Like, you know, fear is a constant companion of conditioned soul in the journey of or cycle of birth and death. It's a constant companion. Child, baby is also fearful. And dying man is fearful. Kids are fearful. Young people are of course fearful. Although they have strength, they have money, they have everything, but they are fearful of so many things. It's a constant companion, fear. So when I heard that Lord Ram says, I'll give you abhayadana, I said, what kind of benediction is this? It didn't click to me in the beginning. But when I reflected, I heard also many devotees speaking the same thing, sharing the same thing, that how it is the best benediction, fearlessness. And I was thinking, we think. It is said that, Gita course we speak sometime how, I think Gaurang Prabhu was giving this example. He was saying, the cows, she can go on eating all day, grazing, eating, all day she can eat. But we can't eat like that. even if we want, we can't eat all day long, it's so tough. But humans can go on thinking. There is no end to it. So, I was thinking, if Ravana would have surrendered, what would have happened? How the Ramayana would have taken the course? Or say, if Duryodhana would have surrendered to Krishna's proposal, what would have happened? Then we see various examples in Shastra, like our Srinivasa Prabhu in kitchen sometime we discuss. So he was telling me, he gave some example. He said Valmiki. He was totally degraded, living with so many female companions and they're like his wives, and he was looting people to entertain them, highway robber, very, very cruel. Mrugari, he would leave aside the animals half killed and enjoy them dying, seeing them dying. It's total pleasure in ignorance. And they came in contact with Narada Muni and they actually changed, transformed. Srila Prabhupada met so many people with so many horrible backgrounds. Sometimes we read the disciples write their memories before and after the. There is a whole difference. So then why Ravana did not surrender, or why Duryodhana didn't surrender? It was actually up to them, it was their responsibility. They chose not to surrender. So if they would have surrendered, then the things which were causing them so much of trouble, lust in the case of Ravana, for example. The evidence of Shastra says that it would have definitely gone away and he would have worshipped Mother Sita in a proper way. That's the evidence. Sometimes people discuss that this swabhava is something that cannot be changed. Nature is nature. Aisa hi nature hai.
It cannot change. But then why there are so many advices in Shastra? Do like this, do like that. Don't do this, don't do that. So many, recommendations, so many kind of inspiring people to take up to the righteousness. If nobody would change, what is the point? There is no point of this, all this discussion of Shastra and, you know, morality, human laws, this law, that law. Because it inspires in various levels to people. It may inspire at the level of fear, or it may inspire at the level of rewards, it may inspire at the level of duty, and it may inspire at the level of love, out of understanding of complete responsibility, duty and love for the state, or love for the, you know, family, love for the society, or love for the Supreme Lord, honoring His instructions. So then, what stops a person from surrendering is basically the obstacle within the heart, and it is impossible to overcome. Daiviyesa gunamai mama maya durathaya. It is impossible to overcome. Nobody has power. Jiva may be superior in nature to Prakriti, but Prakriti is Krishna's direct energy. Because he is the direct energy of Krishna, we have no power to overcome. So therefore, Krishna recommends that we take his shelter. And how to take his shelter? In the 7th chapter, he speaks about the process of surrender, basically. Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. It begins with, Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunja Madasraya. That one's mind has to be attached to Krishna. Of course, that is a very high staged. Asakti means really strong attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. Maya saktaha manaha, mind. Yogam yunjam madasraya. Then you engage in my service, taking shelter of me, madasraya. Then it says, asam sam samagram mam yathagnyasasi tatsano. Then, without a doubt, asamsayam. Samagram means in totality, you will know me. That means a person will have a personal relationship with Krishna. Know me means what? Know me means you know the person. You know his desires, his activities, and basically it's a personal exchange. Samagramma means in totality you will know me. There will be nothing about me that you will not know. That's what the promise is. Asamsa means without a doubt. Yatha jnasasi tatsrunu. And how will you know? Then jnanam cha yad vijnanam. Not only by knowledge, information, but also realization. You will get realization about it. Next verse he says. Then the acharyas explain that jnanam means they will have the knowledge about the Lord, about His powers. And vijnanam means one will understand about His sweetness, the personality. The realization is always accompanied by happiness. Knowledge may not accompany happiness, but the realization is accompanied by a sense of satisfaction and happiness. And Acharya explained, vijnana means there is sweetness of Krishna will be revealed. But the jnana means power. That power which inspires us to take shelter and surrender. Therefore in 7th chapter it says, Arasoham Apsukonte, I am the test of water, I am this, I am that. So that is the power Krishna explains, His greatness. And hearing those powers, one thinks, yes, this is the right place to take shelter. But then there are those who don't take shelter. That is also described. Namam duskriti no mudha. Ravana in that category of Mooda. Not that he is not intelligent, he is very intelligent. But that intelligence is totally misplaced. Instead of surrendering, he is trying to overcome that power. So therefore there is no chance of happiness. So anyway, the Lord says that it is the process of surrender is it's a process. It doesn't happen in a moment. Therefore he says chaturvidha bhajante mam, that four types of people come to me. Artho jikyansu artharthi jnani. Artho means distressed. The distress is so much that they come to Krishna. Like Gaurang Prabhu probably, he gives very funny example. He says in Kali Yuga it is not artho jikyansu arthati jnani. He says in Kali Yuga it is artho, 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 artho. All four are artho category. The other three categories are very rare. But then Lord says these four categories come to me. Then the artha example is Gajendra. He was in total distress, and he called out to Krishna and he was helped. Sometimes people say, I am in distress, I am calling, but why there is no response? Then we should read Gajendra's pastime again and again. What is the nature of his call? In one sense, Draupadi, she was also in distress. Of course, difference between Gajendra and Draupadi is already a pure devotee. She is like Paramahamsa, pure devotee, already attached to Krishna. But Gajendra remembered Krishna after the distress, after being inflicted by distress. That is also because of his previous life's pious activities. Then Jigyansu is referred to the Sanak, the four Kumaras. They are Jigyansus. They also achieve Lord's mercy. And Artharthi is Dhruva Maharaj. So if you look at the order, Artha is in the lowest rung, then Jigyansu, then Artharthi. It means Artharthi are placed higher than the Jigyansus. Normally we think inquisitiveness is better, we think. But the Lord is placing them once rung, low in that ladder. Because the impersonalist, to come to a stage of personalist is very difficult. Once we don't accept Lord as a person, so some devotees are explaining that how the four Kumaras went till the gate of Vaikunthas. They had the darshan of the Lord, but then they returned back. They didn't enter the Vaikuntha. Because their desire was to go and see if the Lord is there. They saw and they came back. Of course, they are like very exalted and they became devotees. But then the Artharthi Dhruva Maharaj, he instantly says, I don't want anything after receiving the darshan. I just want your devotees' association. Highest realization. So such devotees are dearer to Krishna, and the Jnani is the best. The example is Sukadeva Goswami. Because the Jnanis are Niskama. So Anya Vilashita Swanyam Jnanam Karma Manavratam. So these are not that Jnani, impersonalist, which is the inquisitiveness category has come. These are like Sukadeva Goswami, who has no other desire but to just to come and eka yukta visheshataha. That next verse says, this jnani is, Krishna says, they are better because
they are devotees and their only motive is to serve me. Therefore, although all the three categories are udara, udara in this sense they are gracious, they are generous. Krishna is saying that because they are coming to me, they are generous to me. Why is he saying generous? Because even in distress, somebody calls us to Krishna, there is some love for Krishna. You know, there is some feeling is expressed. And Krishna is feeling indebted for that feeling. He says, I am feeling, they are generous to me, they are showing some love to me. So he's feeling, you know, kind of reciprocating. So in that reciprocation, he removes the distress. It's not that because he is called and he is a duty, like demigods have a duty. You do something, they have to fulfill. It's not that. Krishna is not bound by such kind of, rules. It doesn't apply to him at all. It is that love, little bit love that is expressed, that faith, Krishna feels indebted. If that is lacking, even if you are distressed and come to Krishna, if that is lacking, then probably we are probably failing to get that grace of the Lord. But the jnani shows it to the fullest of the capacity. It's not that Krishna is trying to strike somebody inferior or superior, because more love is expressed, naturally you will feel more loved. And that's a law. So in this way we see that the Lord, that process of surrender basically goes, those who are distressed, they may not be able to surrender completely, but still attached to material, that distress has to go, or the reward has to be given. Right? Then only the love is expressed. So it takes a long way. So bahunam, then Krishna says bahunam janmanam ante. So after trying to come to Krishna through various ways, expressing some little love here and there, again getting some reciprocation, then increasing love, in this way the full knowledge, actually why should I ask for all these things? So when the person, he no more worries about the distresses, which may or may not be there, whenever they are there, without worrying about the distress or the rewards, still serves the Lord. That is the point of pure devotional service. And then the Lord reciprocates very freely with such devotees, and there no question of going back to asking for anything in life. Once that relationship is enjoyed. So, because today is Snan Purnima, I want to just come out of that topic and try to, let's go to Jagannath Puri. today is the Brahmoshav of Jagannath, in Jagannath Puri. Brahmoshav means the day the Lord is installed. And the deity worship installation ceremony is very important, because the Lord actually... So, before this what happens, the King Indradyumna sees the Lord in dream again and again. So this is what happens for pure devotees, they have already surrendered. The Lord naturally, spontaneously appears in their dream and tells them what to do. Like Madhavendra Puri, Gopal spontaneously appears, please, you know, bring me out, and I'm looking for your service. So Indradyumna Maharaj, he's saying, I want your service. So he is now, you know, very madly searching for the deities through various, whatever state capacity he had, using full force he was using. And finally they spotted the Lord on the top of a blue mountain, Nilachala, in a cave surrounded by forests. But then when the king came with all his entourage, the Lord disappears. And the entire Savar community who are actually serving, the leader of this leader of the Savar community was actually serving. So then there is a whole kind of lamentation and all.
spiritual lamentation.
Then the Lord again comes in the dream. Okay, don't worry, I am coming back in a Daru Brahma. On the bank of ocean you can go and find me. And the sea, the three effulgent logs are on the sea. It's there, it's called Chakra Tirtha in Jagannathpur. If you go, that place is there where the Lord actually appeared. So back in 1970 or 71, something like that, I don't remember the exact year, Prabhupada was in LA, and Prabhupada spoke this story of appearance of Lord Jagannath to all the devotees, to his followers. Most of them were hippies at that time, but they are committed to Prabhupada. So then they heard about Lord Jagannath's appearance. Then they said, Prabhupada said, I also like to have Jagannath Vallasudra, because Malati Mataji bought those small deities. She stole some small deities from Indian store. She didn't know who the deities were. And Prabhupada said, oh, he's supreme Jagannath, Lord of the universe, and paid his full obeisances. And she was a little more bewildered. She thought this is a kind of doll which will be kept in Prabhupada's, you know, room, so that Indian touch will be there. But then Prabhupada spoke the story, then he said, I would like to have bigger size deities. And Shamsundar Prabhu, who knew carpentry, said, okay, I will carve. Then when they heard that the deities appeared on the ocean bank, so they also went to the ocean bank in LA. It's western coast. Shamsundar Prabhu personally told this story to us in our council meeting, Gaurang Prabhu. He was speaking spontaneously. He says, we went to the ocean, and to our surprise we found one huge redwood log floating in the ocean in the dock area. And there were no waves there, dock area. And they were thinking excited, we'll take this, like they were thinking like this. But then everywhere, you know, security is very tight in America. We just can't take things just like that. So, and they thought, well, let's go to the security people and ask if they can give us the... Then to their surprise, they didn't... They're good. They said, oh, you take it. And that's how Jagannath appeared in western coast. So Prabhupada went, actually Jagannath followed him in another ship and reached America to assist, to bless. So they installed those deities, and Prabhupada started speaking and doing kirtan. Jagannath Swami Nanapathagami Bhavatam, it was going very high. And there was a lamp, candle. So they are removing the candle as arati, one by one. Somebody asked Prabhupada, how many times you should do it? Prabhupada said, as long as your hands is, not tired. Till your hands are not tired, you should keep doing. When you are tired, you will pass it to other. No, 3, 4, the way we do arati. No counting. Just keep doing till you are tired. Once Prabhupada told Sutakriti Prabhu, he was massaging Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, don't stop massaging because you are tired. Stop massaging when I am tired. Prabhupada used to say like this. So he told them, keep doing till you are tired. And the Kirtan, and that's how Jagannath installed in LA. So in Puri, today, it's also called Deva Snan Purnima. So this Jyeshtha Purnima today. And then in Ashada month begins tomorrow. Because there are two Ashadas, therefore there are Navakalever. When there are Adhikmas in form of Ashada comes, then there is Navakalever. The deities change their form. So that's a detailed thing, but I'll just speak a few minutes because we had started a little late. So after the deities are brought, they're carved and like half form, and Narada Muni, everybody, they do all those things, they convince Indra, this is the way the Lord wants to appear. So he goes to Brahma Lok and invites Lord Brahma for installation, because he is the Lord of the universe. So the best man of this universe has to come and perform arati. Right? Like on our Brahmasya, we will invite the president they may not come, but I think they're invited. So Brahma comes, but then many years passes by. Brahma says, I will come. So Indradhumna comes back, but many yugas passed by, and the whole temple, the new temple they constructed to install Jagannath, has come under sand. It was totally under sand. Then another king was there, he was taking his troops, and his horse stumbled upon something and fell off. So he was angry, you know, kings. So he started digging, what is that, I want to take it out. So he kept digging and digging, and the whole temple came out. And they didn't know what to do with this. Who built it? So many years back it was built. Whole temple was there. So if you go to Jagannath Puri, actually it was on top of a mountain. There are many temples like, the Lord Shiva's temple. They're underground. Many temples are there, below ground level. You have to go down staircase to enter the temple. So naturally, Jagannath temple is in top. You have to climb up 22 steps. But these are below the level. So that was the level where the land was there. So now they have dug down to the point of temple. But you say, niche nahi gaya aur. It's like that. So then they have to convince this king, Indradhumna, that I was the one who built this temple. And then it took so many, then Brahma came, so many people were convinced, then he got convinced. Some kaka was sent, he spoke, and so many things happened. So then Jagannath was actually bathed today, Snan Purnima, and then were placed in three beautiful carts. There are actually a river also in between. Because Jagannath was born, this was happened in Gundicha, there is a Narsingha temple also there where the sacrifice was performed, very old Narsingha temple. So this all happened in Gundicha, therefore Gundicha is the birthplace of Jagannath, which is Vrindavan. And he goes to Dwarka, across the river. There is to be another three sets of cart on the other side of the river. So 3 + 3, 6 carts. It went on for many, many centuries, such kind of rathayatra. 6 carts every year, till the river actually dried. So, then in the temple they installed on the Ratna Simhasana, Brahmaji performed arati, and all these things happened. So to commemorate that, every year this Snan Punya, Lord Jagannath is bathed. And after all this ceremony, Indradhumna Maharaj was very happy. Jagannath was very happy. Jagannath said, I want to give benedictions. You ask benedictions. I'm very happy. Like Narasimhadev to Prahlad, you ask something. When they're happy, they want to give. But devotees, they don't want anything. So he said, okay, you want to give him something? Then he says, we understand that you like to eat. So my desire, you want to fulfill my desire. My desire is that you will offer you eating all day long. So before you eat one item and you wash your hand, Achman, before the water on your hands dry, the second item will come. Next offering will come. Like that we want to offer you all day long. And he said, okay, tathastu. But I want to give you something. I want to express your desire. He says, I have one more desire. He says, what? Now you are so beautiful, your darshans will never get closed. All time darshan. Only 3 hours rest. Then he says, okay. But in that 3 hours also, it is not actually closed. The demigods, they come and they give the report. Management affair. Universe, Lord of Universe, na? So, Then he says, no, I want you to ask something. Then Indradhumna Maharaj says, okay, you have, somehow you just don't manifest your hands because of your ecstasy. But I want to offer you golden hands and golden feet. And golden armor. And so, he says, okay, all four hands, feet.
Jagannath says, okay, once a year I'll take that. He says, no, now you ask something, I'm serious. And he says, okay, then make sure that I don't have any kids. No kids for me. No children. He says, why? It's a curse. Abhishap. It's not a blessing. He says, no, I don't want anybody to call that this Jagannath Puri temple is our temple. This is your temple. It is offered to you. Then Jagannath is very much moved. But at that point, Gundicha, she is, you know, queen, wife of, she interfaces, says, if we don't have kids, who will perform our Shraddha? Then Jagannath says, okay, then I am your son, I will perform. Your mother, I am your son, I will perform. So every year, there is a Sankranti, it is called Posha Sankranti, or it's also known as Ganga Sankranti. On that day, in bank of Ganga, everybody performs this Shraddha to their forefathers. So in Puri, there is a Sweta Ganga. Ganga Ma is there also there. So Jagannath performs Shraddha for Indradumna and Gundicha every year there. So there is another pastime where he actually does service to Gundicha. So the Lord Shiva and Parvati, they discuss at the bank of Indradumna Sarovar about the glory of Mother Gundicha and Indradumna Maharaj. Say how they're nice devotee of Jagannath. And Jagannath serves them. While they're talking, Mother Gundicha, she comes to take her bath in Indradumna Sarovar. And as she was walking towards the Sarovar, they saw behind her, Jagannath is also coming. They're watching and with wonder what's going to happen. And what happens? As she was walking, a thorn stuck to her feet. And she was like pained. She just sat down. And immediately Jagannath takes the form of a Brahmana boy, small boy. And says, Mother, what happened? And then he helps to take out that thorn. Then she asks, who are you? He says, I'm your son. Jagannath says, I'm your son. And that's how, if you go to the Indradumna Sarovar, sometime we go and see the temples around, we don't make any sense. You'll see on the one side Lord Shiva is there, other side actually Mother Gundicha and a small boy trying to take out thorn from her feet is there. You'll see the Gundicha temple is there actually. She's like Yashoda. So next time when you go, you can take her blessings. So such pastime surrounding these Brahmoshabs are there. And these Daitapatis, who are actually the descendants of this Savara community, they're actually very close to Jagannath. They serve in this snana, then Lord falls sick, fever, they treat him. And when Lord Jagannath falls sick, these Daitapatis, they feel very sad because of sickness. Because at this time, nobody else is allowed. Even the pujaris, the brahmanas, no other sevakas are allowed inside. Because normally you can relate, when we fall sick, we understand that the doctors may be required and other people may be required, but what we need most at that time is mother's affection, isn't it? In our experience. So these people are like that to Jagannath. They are very close. So they only surround and they do seva. So when Shripad Ramanujacharya came to Jagannath Puri to change the system of service, Jagannath did not like the idea. So while he was sleeping, Jagannath sends Garudadev. And Garudadev carries Ramanujacharya to Kurukshetra. Because Ramanuja means Lakshman, Rama Anuja. So with Ramanuja, Jagannath can do whatever he likes. With Baldev, he cannot do that. Baldev, he requests. Balram, he plays in a different way to deal with Baldev. But with Ramanujacharya, he just does whatever he likes. Anuja.
So he took him out of Jagannath Puri to Kurmakshetra, but Kurma was appearing like Lord Shiva, because Shiva Ling jaisa dikhte. So Ramachandra was very upset. I was in Jagannath Puri. I don't know what I committed. I am here in Lord Shiva's, Lord Shiva, in a personal store, Lord Shiva. So he didn't like it. He is a follower of Vishnu. Then the Kurma, he appears, Jagannath also appears, says, this is actually Kurma. It's not Lord Shiva, it's not Shiva Linga. So whatever system you wanted to implement there, here there is no system. Nobody is worshipping me, nobody even knows that people are thinking I am Lord Shiva. So start a system of worship here, that is required here, you do it here. So then Ramanacharya becomes very happy and builds a vibrant community there and whole worship, even today it is going on. So therefore the Daitapati, they take care of Jagannath. This year speciality is what? This Daru Brahma which they have spotted and they brought to Puri, Jagannath, Balla, Subhadra and Sudarshan, they will also be placed in Snan Mandapa. So both will take bath and both will fall sick. In that. That's what both will be treated in a similar way. But while treatment is going on, they also carve the deities from the new set of Daru's. And on the Amavasya, that is 15th or 16th June, they will, within 15 days, they will make the deities ready. And the people who make the deities of Jagannath, they only carve Navakalavara deities. They don't carve any other deities throughout the time. There is no practice. So 20 years back they carved, again they were going to carve now. Because that is their seva. They cannot do any, other things with that. So they will be guided by some Daitapatis and they will be like doing this. And then Amavasya they will change the, that Brahma that is Brahma Padharth. Sanatana Goswami says it's like a salagram is a gotika udara. It's like a living salagram. So if you touch that Brahma, it is like a rabbit, if you put in your hand, how you'll feel. So that salagram is a living salagram. That is what it is described. Anang Mohan Prabhu told me this. And some very senior Daitapatis in the community was not going to live more because they don't want this to be discussed in public. So he's a very grave person, very old. He does the job and few years he leaves his body. So it doesn't go in public and discussion about what is this Krishna's Jagannath secret. But anybody who goes to Jagannath, they immediately understand this deity is, it's a living deity and it's a living dham. That dham is also, so many things are happening there, So many rock music, this, they will be, people will be playing this music, that music, people are eating so many other things. But despite all these activities, that land is emanating some beautiful spiritual life. Even if you don't have darshan of Jagannath, still it's worth visiting because dham is living. And this year, so the new deities will come and there will be a lot of excitement. Hare Krishna, sir, I got a little wind. There is much more to speak, but I have to stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.